I am in Ephesians 1, if you want to follow with me there. You know, this time of year we celebrate Easter and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So we're going to get an intravenous of this all week long. Say amen, yes. But you can't get enough. To me, I read a book called The Pursuit of God by a man named Tozer. How many of you read that book? It's a classic. You should get a hold of it. And he makes a statement in the introduction. And he says basically that to worship the false notion of God or a false idea of God is as idolatrous as worshiping at the golden calf. So sometimes it's like I had this prophetic word over somebody. Just I had a quote from Mark Twain, and the quote was, "It's not the things that that you don't know that really hurt you. It's the things that you're completely sure about that are wrong that really hurt you." Come on, say amen, right? That we just jump into conclusions and we begin to think things without really neither having a basis on the word or even our own experience. And, you know, that's why some of us, you know, instead of running to the gym, we run into conclusions, you know. It's kind of, and it's just like we have an opinion about everything, and the question really should be why. I mean, our opinions are not, have to be filtered through the reality of God and the hugeness of God. We don't have a grid to really understand how awesome our Father is. Come on, how awesome, how majestic, how full of grace. Why would he even come and talk to us? Why would he even be here with us? Why would he make his home inside of you? Come on, why would he rescue you? Come on, how many of you know that he owes no man heaven? That everything that we receive, we have to receive freely because he loves us. His desire has been for us. There's no volunteers, you know this. He either draws you in or you can't come. That's an act of love right there, right? How many of you are not so lovable before your third or fourth cup in the day? And so it's like, sometimes we think we deserve things and we complain about generations that we feel like you're entitled, but sometimes the church thinks they're entitled to grace. We want to have a connection with God on our terms, and the Lord is saying, well, you know, it's just not going to be like that. And so I want to read in Ephesians, one of my favorite books really, because Ephesians, you have to read the whole book to understand it. You can't just go to the armor of God in chapter 6 without knowing who God is in chapter 1. And you can't understand, having been rescued in chapter 2, why it is that you're his workmanship, his work of art. Come on, look at you, man, right next to you and say, you're a work of art. Come on, tell him that. A double dog there, you're there. That's different than you're a piece of work. Come on. You're a work of art. You're a masterpiece. That's the Greek there. You're a masterpiece. And so even in spite of however rough you're looking this morning, whether you're half awake, half asleep, it is already determined from heaven's vantage point that you are majestic, that you are a creature made by God, and that he loves you, come on, in spite of you. Come on, that's good news this morning, right? He's trying to rescue you from you, not from the devil. That'll hit you later on in the day, you know. How many know you're your worst enemy sometimes? It has nothing to do with the devil being out there big, bad, and ugly. It's us making choices. So let me just read this. Let me just frame it. From verses 1 to 14, he talks about who we are. We only have a few minutes here, so I can't go into this whole amazing. Every one of these verses is so packed and loaded. But it talks about who we are, that you were born into by his kindness of his intentions. He caused you to be born again. He brought you into the family. Come on, that's such an amazing thing. You got to thank God every day. That transformation has happened to you. And if it hasn't happened and you're here today, it can happen right there. And the second time, because of his kind intention, I think it's verse 7, he included you in the knowledge of the mystery. that you have according to his administration, that means according to his divine plan, he has determined because of his kindness towards you. He's included us in his overall strategy to possess the earth that belongs to him, to kick out the usurper, come on, to be able to move him out and release the glory of God wherever you are. Now, this is the first verses, and one of my favorite things, he's summing up all things in Christ. Come on, that sounds like fighting words, yeah? Things in heaven, things on earth. It's like a divine magnet bringing everything into Jesus. A lot of what we see going on in the world and in our history. And see, for us, 4,000 years, wow, that's a long time. For God, come on, that's no time at all. He is outside of history and space and time. And the Lord is bringing all of these things together in heavens and on earth. He is bringing them into one, into the man Christ Jesus. Come on. That's exciting, because then you realize that we're not losing, we're winning. And it doesn't matter what you're looking at out there. The Lord is bringing everything ahead. Every day is a victorious day. Every day is a good day. Come on, every day God brings us into this place. And so, you know, we're finite beings with an infinite spirit. Our world is finite. Our politicians, our governments, our economics, everything's finite. But God, come on, say, but God. He's bringing everything in, and all the shakings that we see and all the things we hear, it's just simply God just moving the borders closer to himself. Now, he's in control of everything. You agree with that? He's on the throne reigning. It doesn't matter who's ruling. It's funny, sometimes we think we need good government, and we forget that this whole thing of Christianity started under Roman occupation. I wouldn't say that was good government. And another thing, too, like within the 12, he had Matthew, who was a tax collector. You could say he was for the pro-Roman political party. And then he had Simon the Zealot, who was a Zionist. You could say he was from the Israel political party. He's got two of these guys in his team, and he never mentions it. Come on, it'll hit you after your third cup this morning. We make such a do about nothing. And I'm not saying we don't need to be civilly involved. I'm just saying that the things we prioritize, when we see the vastness of God, when we'll, on that day in the book of Revelation, it says, we'll look at the one who deceived the nations and we'll say, is that the one? Because we'll see the glory of God, the amazing power and amazing person of God. And then we'll look at this one that caused trouble for how many ever years that he did. And we'll see, that's the one? That's the one that deceived us all these years. So in Ephesians 1, he says, I've guaranteed your inheritance. This is all verse 1 to 14. I've given you the Holy Spirit as a token of my guarantee that you have an inheritance and no one can take away your inheritance. I've sealed it in you. And so here he starts in verse 15. So for this reason, I too, because I heard of your faith in the Lord that exists in you and the love you have for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks to you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now check that out. I've heard of your faith. Come on, man. Say amen. Yes. But not just faith, okay, you know, no, faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in what he did. Faith that he's risen. Faith that he's gone. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Faith that he lives inside of you. Come on. He's now, the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. He is your hope of glory. He is the one that gives you joy. He is the one that produces every good thing coming forth from you. The fountain of life flows from you because Jesus is inside of you. Come on, that's good news this morning. So the faith in the Lord Jesus and, come on, this is vertical, faith in Jesus and horizontal, love of the saints. This dynamic of relationship, guys. This dynamic of being able to be horizontal, vertical, and horizontal. Almost like the cross, right? That you have to have in order, because you can't love God that you don't see if you don't love your brother that you do see. Right? Amen? So maybe, you know, the gift that God has reserved for you that you need to go over to the next level, he's put it in somebody that you don't like so you get to be friends. Come on, somebody. He's going to make you love people. He's going to make you humble yourself and ask for help. You can't be Texas tough. Come on. Because we're weak. And that's the scariest thing for men, to acknowledge weakness, to acknowledge that we don't have enough. That even like Elijah realized, even at my best, I was cutting up heads of prophets. I was slicing and dicing. Come on, that sounds like a commercial for us. Black and Decker. Anyways, I was slicing, dicing heads. I was killing prophets. And one little word from a woman. Don't I all get so quiet up in here. Made me chase me out of my destiny. And all of us, when you realize you don't have enough and that you need supernatural power, you need to summon your ego powers. Some of you will get that later. You need to summon the Spirit of the Lord that is active inside of you. This is why God gives you the ability to connect, so you're able to be saturated with him, so that you don't go around thinking you're all that, but you're actually able to humble yourself and receive like a sponge, like a straw, the presence of God in your life, the wisdom of God in your life, the perspective of heaven on your earth reality. You begin to soar into a whole different dimension. You begin to think. Come on, you have three brains. You think, my notes are going left. They're going left the building like Elvis. You have three brains you think through. You think in your intellect. You think through your desires. How many do stuff you know is not right for you and you do it anyways? You're thinking through the wrong brain, and I'm not going to even tell you where that's coming from. And then you think through your spirit. Your spirit's trying to educate both of the other brains. The spirit's trying to let you know what it is that you need to be focused on. And you see, he says, for this reason I pray, because of what God has done to you. Verse 3 of that verse, very same chapter, he says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places I've given unto you. Come on, look at your neighbor again and says, you got it all, bro. You already got it all. He wants to release the heavenly realm onto your earth realm. He's trying to teach us how to shift our minds, change the way we think, change the way we look at things. He's trying to break the threshold, the veil off of our eyes, so we don't, like, all the time are so clueless. But even in our lack of understanding, we can come to peace because we know he's in charge. He's trying to break into that. And he says, he's making mention and thanksgiving and mention in his prayer that the God of the Lord Jesus, isn't that cool that Jesus has a God? Isn't that cool that the Father, he models everything for us? This relationship that Jesus in his perfection was still totally dependent on the Father. And this dependence that God is trying to bring us from being self-strong, self-made, into a dependence of God, on God, to where you co-labor together in the fullness of what he has prepared for you. And he says that he wants to grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants to open up your eyes to see. He wants to release the heavenly information, to release the promise on the earth realm. He wants you to be able to connect with him and be a funnel of goodness and blessing upon every sphere you touch. And that every person that you realize that you are carrying something divine. Come on, you're carrying something divine. That wherever you go, you should shift that atmosphere. You should be like in old, where David had to lay down the ark. I think it's Jeroboam's house. For 3 months, everything that guy did prospered. The prosperity and blessing of the Lord blossomed in his household. Why? That's the presence of God that should do this everywhere we go. Wherever you come in, Jesus is coming with you. Say amen. Yes. And it's a release of some. See, you become aware. You become aware that the presence of God is for, that God is for you in spite of your circumstances. And then you wake up with a good, with an attitude. Come on, you've heard the old saying, some people wake up and say, good morning, Lord. And some people wake up and say, good Lord, morning. See, whatever your attitude is will determine your altitude that day. However you begin to engage the day, and I want to suggest to you, I mean, I've done it too, so don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to condemn everyone. But if the first go-to is the news in the morning, have a good day. Come on, you got to get heaven's perspective before you even talk about or think about earth. You need to be able to drink from the fountain of life so you can get faith in you to realize that what you're seeing is temporal. What's going on right now, it's a summing up. Jesus is in control. He's making man come alive. He's making the heavenlies come into his total domain, even though right now they're in rebellion against them. They know their outcome. They're struggling, but he's dragging them into the fullness of his purposes, using evil even to teach the good. Come on, the world prophesies all the time, and the church needs to wake up. Come on, and smell the coffee. I smell it now, glory be to God. Anyhow, he wants to open up your eyes. He wants to release light unto you. And this is what he wants you to open. He wants to give you hope, the hope of your call, the hope that something inside of you God created for such a time as this. That there's something of significance in you. And it doesn't matter how big, how small, when you started, how old you are, where you came from, what's your level of education, what skin pigmentation you are. There are only two races, the redeemed and the unredeemed. Everything else is brotherhood. God wants us to come into a place where we start realizing and thinking through the scripture to be able to form his opinion and release that upon the earth realm. That you begin to prophesy into this land at a whole different level. Come on, it's Resurrection Sunday coming up, but he's raised every day. We just kind of like, we don't even know it even happened on that day. Come on, we celebrate Christmas like we, and then on January, we're feeling sorry for ourselves after the hangover of all the money we spent that we shouldn't have. And Easter, which is supposed to be an amazing, come on, this is where it all happens, the resurrection. We're like, oh, Resurrection Sunday, good time to have turkey. Hallelujah. Have a good meal with the family and wear bonnets. We don't wear bonnets anymore, glory to God. Drives me crazy. But every day is a time of resurrection. And then 10 days, when we start celebrating the ascension, the release of God onto the heavenly realm. You know, we wouldn't have the Holy Ghost unless Jesus went to the throne. That he sits up there on high. But yeah, let's not change the story right now. That's for another message someday. But he says that the eyes will be opened up so you would know, you would see the hope of your call, of his calling. The riches of the inheritance he has, his riches and inheritance in you. Come on, you're worth something. He's giving you value. Come on, you're valuable in the eyes of God. And God's trying to redeem our identity and redeem the way we see ourselves so that we're able then to live on earth as we really are in heaven, where all those blessings and all the reality of God flow down. And this is really where I want to go. It's just such an awesome scripture. It says that you would know what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought about in Christ. Now check this out. Six superlatives in a sentence. That you would know the surpassing, that is the way beyond every threshold, the surpassing greatness, which means the awesomeness that displays, that God displays, surpassing greatness of his power, his dunamis, The power of the resurrection. See, right away, it's surpassing, it's non-reaching, and it's powerful. All power, all non-reaching, and all surpassing. That's three right there. Come on, that's good news this morning, yes? Surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Say, I believe. See, we got to get over on that side to be able to receive that who he says. But if that's not enough, listen to what it says. Not just surpassing greatness of his power, according with the working, which is the word for energy, energeos, according to the energy. Now, the New Agers have stolen words from the kingdom. See, this working, this energy, this power is releasing an energy in us. A release of a different kind of strength according to the energy. Working of the strength that is God's abilities. The strength and the ability of God, it says, according to the strength and might, which is his dominion, according to the energy of the strength of his dominion. Woo! Surpassing greatness, power, energy, ability, dominion. Come on, who's your daddy now? That's one sentence. You should park there and don't come out for about 3 years. And begin to realize, what does that mean for the everyday guy? What does that mean for you and your family? What does it mean you putting in this into your children? You make them dangerous. That's what it means. You become somebody that now you're dealing. Some people wake up and say, the devil's in my house. No, he's not. If you got that attitude, he's far from you, bro. You're low level. Problems for him. But you wake up thinking, the Lord is my God, he's my shepherd, I shall not want. And you begin to speak the release of that which is who you are. Oh my gosh, everything changes. And this is how he showed him. When he raised them from the dead. Can you say hallelujah? Yes. He showed all this. He displayed these six superlatives when he raises Jesus from the dead. And if that's not cool enough, he raises him from the and seats him at the right hand of the Father. Ruling and reigning forever, Psalm 110. Sit at my right hand until I make enemies a footstool for your feet. He raised him from the dead, sat him down at the right hand of the Father. Come on, it gets even better than that. It says, not only that, it says, far above, say far above. Come on, say it again, far above. All authority, all rulers, all dominions, every power in heaven, on earth, far above, say far above. See, six superlatives, and the reality that he's so far beyond any little thing that may happen to us in this life. And he's given him a name. Oh, come on, the name, right? Above all names. Say Jesus, yes. A name that is above all. You call on this name, healing comes. You call on this name, deliverance comes. You call on this name, you talk to Papa in a whole different way. In that day, you won't speak about me. You'll speak to him in my name. He's the only mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Come on, just say, bless you, Jesus. Come on, right there where you are, just worship him for 1 second. Give him thanks for your salvation. Come on, just say it out loud. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Yeah. Thank you for my deliverance. Thank you for bringing me to this place. Thank you for giving me understanding. His name above all names, not only on this age, but in the one to come. That's what I call an all-inclusive package. You know, sometimes, you know, you go on a cruise. Anybody been on a cruise? Maybe not, but this rascals make this deal. Yeah, it's all-inclusive until you start reading the fine print. No, but you need to get there, and you need to pay for your luggage, and you need to, and the plane tickets are not inclusive. And when you get there, all these little stores, yeah, you get that food. You get one French fry for 10,000 people. But if you want real food, then you can do that for $29.99. But this is so all-inclusive, friends. Come on, this is all-inclusive. Far above all principalities, all rulers. Colossians 1 said he is preeminent over all things, thrones, dominions. Everything was created for him, by him, through him, for his purposes. All things are created, not only in this age, in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to you. It's not just Jesus is our head. It's that in that package, in that fullness, in the fullness of everything who God is, he's given him to the church. Like, come on, here he is. Here's who you are. Here's who I am. Here's who you are. Subject all things under your feet, that you would be the fullness of him that fills all in all. You should shout right there. The fullness of God that fills all in all. See, this is what this. So now when you face your issue, how many got stuff? How many got stuff, right? You're fixing your issues. You're looking at stuff going on in your life. You got to see it through the filter of Jesus. You got to see that he's brought you to a place. See, when you look at then Ephesians 2 and he says, but you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You went from the prison to the palace in 1.2 seconds. He lifted you up. He raised you up. He caused you to be born again by grace. Yes, he caused you to be lifted up and he sat you there with him. See, you need to understand that to live in the low realm is to lose out on everything he's prepared for you in the high realm. You need to stop praying from your problem to God and start praying from God to the problem. You begin to have eyes from above. That's what Colossians 3 says. Set your mind on the things above, where Christ is sitting at the... Come on, boys. Above. Say above. Because you're far above. So, you know, I fly everywhere. I'm about to take a plane here. You know, it's amazing. When I'm flying, I can't see my bank account. When I'm flying, my problems are minute. They're not even in the place I'm flying from anymore. My problems have gone left. Everything is small from above. When you begin to have this perspective of the fullness of God that he's released unto you. See, this is why we must, not the removal of our mind, but the renewal of our mind. To be able to enter into that which God has already purchased for us. The resurrection is not a celebration. The resurrection is a lifestyle. Yes. It's something that comes forth in and we live it every day. We begin to see things from the perspective. And see, we begin to deal with people according to not the flesh but the spirit. So that even the most unlovable person you can love because Jesus loved you. Because from above, mercy comes. From above, grace comes. From above, love drips on everything. From a love, money's never the issue. It's always heart. So this morning, we're challenged. You know, I read this. And, you know, people say, well, you know, they look at gift. They look at stuff going on. And they say that they think your stuff don't stink when you go to the bathroom for whatever reason. They think you're floating on air or something. They think, you know, we have eyes for like these superstars. And I tell you, one of the things that God is doing, he's removing from the body of Christ the need for superstars in the kingdom. That you're able, come on, you're the heroes of the land. Say amen. You're the giants walking among people, giants filled with love, that they're waiting for you. Your sons manifesting. They're acting like the sons of the living God, acting and modeling according to what Jesus has done for you. You begin to look at your life, look at your marriage, look at your kids, look at the way you work. You begin to worship in a different way. You begin to realize that you don't worship because there's good music. You worship because you love a living God. And then when you lift your hands, you're not looking at the ceiling. You're coming into the place, the vastness of eternity. For this is eternal life, that you would know God and the one that he has sent. That you begin to spread your wings. You begin to let him fill you with heaven air. You put on your heaven suit on so you can breathe in the heavenly realm. Because if you only breathe earth oxygen, you're being poisoned and you don't even know it. You got to go above. Come on, above. Say above. You got to go on high. You got to sit there with him. He is in you. You are in him. You begin to realize who God has made, how he has wired you. You realize, man, God's not done yet. No matter how many mistakes, I'm going to fall forward. No matter what's going on, I'm going to keep pressing in. I'm not going to give up. Why? Because I live far above all of this. That maybe I got issues now. Listen, I got my own list. And I got it in all different kind of countries. Imagine, I go all around the world. I travel about 200, 250 days a year, and I hear problems in all kind of languages. And everybody wants a word. I tell them, I'll give you a word. I'll give you thousands of them. Read your Bible. I'll give you a real good one. When it rains, bring an umbrella. It's the Holy Ghost in you. It's the Holy Ghost in you. It's Christ in you. It's Father in you. Will you sit down and eat with him? Will you stop going with a big shopping list and hang out for a while? Would you make this not a book that you read, but would you allow the book to read you? Would you present this as a mirror? And you realize this is not a book, this is a person. This is someone, not something. Come on, this is someone, not something. That he has answers for us, that there's an invitation to come up. Come on, there's an invitation to come up and be with him. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. As you can imagine, I hang around with all kind of people with all kind of theology. So I don't make that my main thing. Because unity doesn't come because you agree. Unity comes because you love. So we work on loving one another, not being united. Because love will keep us united. But every time it gets hard, I keep telling people, every time it gets hard, we want to put everything in the future and we don't want to face it now. And God has equipped us to be able to deal with our stuff now. To be able to move forward now. That he is the I am forever now. That God doesn't, you know, he's not looking at you to overcome there. He wants you to overcome here because he has overcome, yes? And you know, it's, Jesus is coming. Things are freaking out. All kinds of stuff. And I'm saying, you know, the Lord must be coming. They're taking away our sodas, you know, like air conditioning is not working. Jesus must be near. I mean, we're like crazy. And the third world looks at us in the Western world thinking, man, like your problem is you expect everything to work. We know it doesn't work. We're happy when it does. And it's a grateful, it's a question of gratefulness and perspective. Where are you, friend? Why are you hanging out low, eating chicken food when you're supposed to soar and be the predator, not the prey? Why do you settle for so little? Now, you see, this is why I can't stay in a place too long. I begin to exhort you to move into a different place, into attack mode. Because you got to go from where you are into where you're destined to be. Because you're already there, you just need to be aware. I think Jesus personally is hiding behind the throne of the Father, looking at the church and his bride saying, don't send me yet, Lord. She ain't looking so good. But I'm thinking there'll be a day we're all invited to a wedding. I mean, he calls us men brides. Don't even go to it where you don't need to go. But that's a word of tenderness to men's hearts. He calls you his bride. He's longing to marry us. He's longing to be with us forever. See, I don't really care much about me feeling good about myself and having all the cool stuff and toys. I'm in love with the fact that I am loved forever by God. That I'm going to be attached to him for all eternity. And that everything I do this day is not for us to get better. It's not for the planet to be better. It's not for the ozone. It's not for the rezoning. It's not for the cows or the bears. I had to do a cow joke for my brother. It's because of love. It's because every second that this world resists him is a second he doesn't get glory. It's because I'm compelled by something greater, and the things of this earth are losing their shine compared to what we're about to receive. That the 100 years you live here means, all it means is a ticket to that ride. All that means is, you know, this is the only wedding where you're invited to your own wedding. Come on, I thought that you're going to get married, by definition, you're going to be invited. But this is an invitation to the place where you're going to be married to. How many of you know there's a difference between the actual, the invitation and the actual ceremony? The union of you with God forever. See, the above, from above, and the below come together forever. Come on, close your eyes, man. And just receive the grace of God. Not so much all the intensity even of this morning, but just this is a fact. Not a message. In your situation, as an individual, just say, yes, Jesus. Open up my eyes to see this. See, this is why Paul prayed. He says, because of everything that you've done, I pray. I pray. I ask you, Holy Spirit, this day, the awesome thing you're doing in this house, look at this room, God. Look at the miracle of this place. Look at this city, God. Look at the panhandle. Look at this great state. I love this man. I love this place. I love those. I remember the days, God. I remember how you brought them to this place, to this moment, to this historical time. I pray in the name of Jesus, come on, put your hands over your heart, yeah? I pray that their eyes may be opened up now, God. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Come on, say yes, Jesus. I pray that you would enlighten them, God. I pray that you drop wisdom in their hearts. I pray that they would be aware of who they are. I pray that you would see, you would cause them to see how they're built and how they're wired. I pray, God, that no weapon formed against them would prosper in any way. I pray that they would come to know, that they would come to know, God, that you are for them. Who can be against them? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for a love for one another that be so intense, they would not receive any division or any word of discord in this house because of the love they have for one another, God. I pray, Father, that you would release a spirit of prayer and that will lead them into the preaching of the gospel in this area, God. I pray, Father, you would bless this land. You would bless the businesses. You would bless the schools. You would bless another generation. God, I pray you teach us how to pray this way. God, I pray that you would take us up now. Come on, you and your divine imagination. Come on, go up now and be seated with Christ. Go up now in your heart and know that you are in him and he is in you. Go up now and don't come out from there. You don't need to ever come out. You are there. And it doesn't mean you're so heavenly minded that you're not earthly good. There you pick up all you need to come down and display his beauty everywhere you walk. Go up now today and find your place there at the right hand with Jesus. Know that you are royalty. Come on, say it. I am royalty. You're sons. Sons of the living God, friend. Come on, you're sons of the living God. You're your father's proud. You could be anywhere else this morning, but you're here. Hungry to know him. I love that about you. So I pray in Jesus' name, stamp eternity, God. It says in Ecclesiastes, he has put eternity in our hearts. I pray, let it come alive, Lord. Let it come alive. Let us celebrate each day this living hope, 1 Peter. The hope of the resurrected Jesus. This living hope inside of us. this promise, this power, this surpassing greatness of the power of the working of the strength of his might. Oh, come on, say yes, Jesus. Let me see it, Lord. I want to see it, Lord. I want to hear you, Lord. I want to know you, God. Make a choice, my friend. Make a choice today that you're going to walk from heaven to earth like eagles. Glories, come on down. Holy Spirit, touch this man. Bring them to places of decision. Some of you are facing things, facing decisions. Do the thing that is right, not the one that is convenient. Come on, take responsibility this morning. I know they preach that in here, don't they? Take personal responsibility and say yes, Jesus. Come on, say yes, Jesus. Ask God to lead the way. Ask God to shine a light on your path and a lamp onto your steps. Come on, say yes, Jesus. I'm not going to read this book. I'm going to let this book read me. I'm going to encounter you, Father. You are wisdom. You are power. You are Jesus, my Jesus. You are my brother. You are my husband to be. You are everything to me. Come on, say yes, Jesus. The bride makes herself ready. Get yourself ready. Pull up your boots, man. Not bravado, not Texas strength. Go up to the high place and stay there. And worship and practice the presence of God above and practice the presence of people on the earth realm. Be the blessing of others. Don't worry about you all the time. Fill yourself with love. Come into the knowledge that he loves you and he won't quit on you. And then move from that place and begin to, you be the heroes. And you lay hands on the sick. And you prophesy. And you move in the power of God. And you stop looking at somebody else to do that for you. And you stop driving your pastors crazy. Come on, say amen right there. Because you're the heroes. You're the giants in the land. You're the sons of the living God. Fall in love with him and never recover, man. Come on, fall in love with him and never recover. And move according to his cadence. And move according to his prompting. Risk being wrong. So you learn how to walk right. Step out on that water and walk among the waves. This is the way I've learned. I've taught my son this, and he's in Nepal right now, blowing up demons. Come on, I love that. I don't even know what I did right. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes by accident, we end up walking into what God wants to do. But whatever I did wrong, thank God he corrected it. Come on, say amen, yes? And his children will be different. And you know, our children are different. They won't have to repeat what we did. Because we're sons of the living God, yes? We're modeling something unique. In the middle of this desert, spring wells are popping up everywhere. You watch and see how green this place will be when God touches the earth. I bless you today. Thank you for hearing my hollerings. I hope and pray that you find such purpose inside of God that wherever it is that you lack, you should know that he already has an answer for you. Yes? And the last thing I do, just put your hand on your brother, on his shoulder, and just release the blessing of God over him right now this morning. Just come on, prophesy to him right now. I know we're going to sit and we're going to have a little fellowship, those that can. But come on, open up your mouth and begin to prophesy life and blessing and health and healing. Bless their families and children. Bless their future. Give them hope. Break away all depression. Break away all oppression. Come on, lift up your voice, man. and began to speak unto them with the clarity, a trumpet sounding. You begin to have the vocabulary of heaven. God, thank you. You are good to this man. Father, thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that you are strengthening in his weakness, God. Thank you, Father, that you have his back, that you are his portion, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead him into all truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you distribute all the gifts, that you distribute and develop all the fruits. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the plans and purposes of God are revealed unto this man. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're doing a new thing in them. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to flow, the rivers of God will flow out of their innermost being. Come on, prophesy. Open up this river, God. Open up the river of God within this man in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Holy Spirit, give him wisdom, give him understanding, give him knowledge, give him strength to fight the good fight of faith. Come on. I pray, God, give vision to them. Open up their eyes that they would see you, Lord. Holy Spirit, grip their hearts. Holy Spirit, move within them. Holy Spirit, have your way with them today. In Jesus' name, come on, say aloud, amen. Yes. God bless you all and have an awesome day. Yeah?